Tozer's Pursuit of God, Chapter 9, Meekness and Rest. Starting at the very beginning, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 5:5. A fairly accurate description of the human race might be furnished, one unacquainted with it, by taking the Beatitudes, turning them wrong side out and saying, "Here is your human race." For the exact opposite of the virtues in the Beatitudes are the very qualities which distinguish human life and conduct. In the world of men, we find nothing approaching the virtues of which Jesus spoke in the opening words of the famous Sermon on the Mount. Instead of poverty of spirit, we find the rankest kind of pride. Instead of mourners, we find pleasure seekers. Instead of meekness, arrogance. Instead of hunger after righteousness, we hear men saying, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Instead of mercy, we find cruelty. Instead of purity of heart, corrupt imaginings. Instead of peacemakers, we find men quarrelsome and resentful. Instead of rejoicing in mistreatment, we find them fighting back with every weapon at their command. Of this kind of moral stuff, civilized society is composed. The atmosphere is charged with it. We breathe it with every breath. We drink it with our mother's milk. Culture and education refine these things slightly, but leave them basically untouched. A whole world of literature has been created to justify this kind of life as the only normal one. And, I'll just go ahead and add in there, the fact that they feel the need to justify it proves that they have an inward conscience that's telling them otherwise, mm-hmm. Right? And this is the more to be wondered at, seeing that these are the evils which make life the bitter struggle it is for all of us. All our heartaches and a great many of our physical ills spring directly out of our sins. Pride, arrogance, resentfulness, evil imaginings, malice, greed, these are the sources of more human pain than all the diseases that ever afflicted mortal flesh. Into a world like this, the sound of Jesus' words come wonderful and strange, a visitation from above. It is well that he spoke, for no one else could have done it as well. And it is good that we listen. His words are the essence of truth. He is not offering an opinion. Jesus never uttered opinions. He never guessed. He knew and knows his words are not as Solomon's were, the sum of sound wisdom or the result of keen observation. He spoke out of the fullness of his Godhead, and his words are very truth itself. He is the only one who could say blessed with complete authority. For he is the blessed one come from the world above to confer blessedness upon mankind. And his words were supported by deeds mightier than any performed on this earth by any other man. It is wisdom for us to listen. As was often so with Jesus, he used this word meek in a brief, crisp sentence, and not till some time later did he go on to explain it. In the same book of Matthew, he tells us more about it and applies it to our lives. "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. Here we have two things standing in contrast to each other, a burden and a rest. The burden is not a local one peculiar to those first hearers, but one which is borne by the whole human race. It consists not of political oppression or poverty or of hard work. It is far deeper than that. It is felt by the rich as well as the poor, for it is something from which wealth and idleness can never deliver us. The burden borne by mankind is a heavy and a crushing thing. The word Jesus used means a load carried or toil borne to the point of exhaustion. Rest is simply release from that burden. It is not something we do. It is what comes to us when we cease to do. His own meekness, that is the rest. Let us examine our burden. It is altogether an interior one. It attacks the heart and the mind and reaches the body only from within. First, there is the burden of pride. The labor of self-love is a heavy one indeed. Think for yourself whether much of your sorrow has not risen from someone speaking slightly of you. As long as you set yourself up as a little god to which you must be loyal, there will be those who will delight to offer affront to your idol. How can you hope to have inward peace? The heart's fierce effort to protect itself from every slight, to shield its touchy honor from the bad opinion of friend and enemy, will never let the mind have rest. Continue this fight through the years and the burden will become intolerable. Let's see. Oops. Yet the sons of earth are carrying this burden continually, challenging every word spoken against them, cringing against every criticism, smarting under each fancied slight, tossing sleepless if another is preferred before them. Such a burden is not necessary to bear. Jesus calls us to his rest, and meekness is his method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. Boy, that's true. He develops towards himself a kindly sense of humor and learns to say, "Oh, so you have been overlooked. They have placed someone else before you. They have whispered that you are pretty small stuff after all. And now you feel hurt because the world is saying about you the very things you've been saying about yourself. Only yesterday you were telling God that you are nothing, a mere worm of the dust. Where is your consistency? Come on, humble yourself and cease to care what men think." The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God has declared him to be. But, paradoxically, he knows at the same time he is in the sight of God more important than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. That is his motto. He knows well that the world will never see him as God sees him, and he has stopped caring. He rests perfectly content to allow God to place his own values. He will be patient to wait for the day when everything will get its own price tag and real worth will come into its own. Then the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. He is willing to wait for that day. In the meantime, he will have attained a place of soul rest. As he walks on in meekness, he will be happy to let God defend him. The old struggle to defend himself is over. He has found the peace which meekness brings. Then also, he will get deliverance from the burden of pretense. I know that's at the beginning of a paragraph, but that's where we're stopping. Okay? I thought that last sentence was good. Then he will get deliverance from the burden of pretense.